Turn, please, to Luke's Gospel,
the 15th chapter of Luke. We'll commence reading at verse 11. Luke 15 and 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And I ask you please to turn to the 13th chapter, just the two or three verses in chapter 13, verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. I find that one of the most solemn verses in this whole book. It really is the background for the 16th chapter of The Poor Man That Went to Hell. Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer, and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. I would like to note from these two readings of Scripture tonight three beginnings. Now I use the word beginning. The word began is used in our passage, but I want you to note first of all tonight of the beginning of a spiritual awakening. Mr. Hall has been preaching to us tonight concerning the absolute lostness of humanity. Lostness to God. One could not be worse off than we are tonight. Human beings in sin. Could not be worse off. The ruin of Adam in sin was total. He lost everything in one split second. And friend, in our meeting tonight, the only possible hope that you could ever be saved from being lost eternally is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The beginning of a spiritual awakening. We read of the beginning of his joy. Thank God. Oh, that's the great possibility of this gospel meeting tonight. God's gospel is designed to bring sinners to Christ. That's its purpose. I trust you will yield to it tonight. Obey the gospel. Turn your back upon your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus tonight. We also read of the beginning of a sorrowful eternity. They began to knock. They began to weep. Sad to say, friend, in that passage, there's no indication of that ever ending. God graciously caused that to fall upon us tonight. We live far too shallowly. Saint and sinner alike. Eternity is irreversible. Its issues, friend, are unchangeable. The Bible is so clear in its loving message to warn us. God doesn't owe it to us. He's an amazing God. Marvelous God. Every one of us in this room tonight owe it to God to bow our knees by our bed tonight and thank Him. He is not giving us what we deserve. He's a mighty God, friend. So great, so powerful. In our first reading concerning the prodigal, can I say to you, friend, that the Lord Jesus, when He was teaching that parable, whenever you read of the Lord Jesus using two parables, one after the other, He's trying to emphasize something. He's trying to get to you. You know how it is sometimes when you're listening to mom or dad, your children, or even husbands or wives sometimes, when you're listening, you're only half listening. One ear is kind of listening and you hear some words, but it doesn't get in. But then she'll say, your wife will say to you, you can see I'm used to that, I guess, but she'll say, did you hear me, dear? Well, what was that? Second time. Same thing. Then you get. Let me point out to you in Luke 15, the Lord Jesus gives three parables. I hope that this audience preacher, first of all, realizes the tremendous weight on the heart of the Lord Jesus in His love for us poor, unworthy, hell-bound sinners. He does not want to see us perish. My friend in this meeting tonight, the teaching of our Lord Jesus was intended to wake people up. They had a wrong view. They thought absolutely the prodigal, that's it, he's done. Forget it. There's no open door for him. He's broken the law. He is finished. Our Lord Jesus was teaching the purpose of his coming to the world, the incarnate, eternal Son of God, coming into the world for one reason, to show that the Father's arms are open to prodigals. And the whole world are prodigals. Every human being are prodigals. You say, I don't live on the dirty side of the street. No, that's not what our Lord Jesus is saying. Our Lord Jesus is speaking about a boy who had tremendous privilege. He wasted the privilege. And the summons of the evaluation of heaven is riotous living. He lived without listening to what he was taught of a loving Father. And friend, in this meeting tonight, every one of us is guilty of living apart from the teaching of a loving God in heaven. We're rebels by nature, and you need to be wakened up, young man. Your father and mother's on the way to heaven, and you sit in the gospel meeting as if somehow or other, I'll get into heaven. I'll get saved. Young man, you need a good solemn awakening like this boy. He began to think. Can I note with you two things that God used in the awakening of this young man? And can I say to you, my dear friend, you would be a very, very wise person tonight to not take them out of this boy. He spent all, and he had nothing. Then God stepped in and made it worse, did he? He sent a famine. He could get nothing. He had nothing, and he could get nothing. And that's when he began to look back. He looked at his history, and he came to a very wise and yet a very, very solemn conclusion. I have sinned against heaven. My friend, if you ever find out that your sin is against heaven, that is a very solemn conclusion, for it means you'll never be there. Its doors closed against you. A young man, young lady, dear older friend in this meeting tonight, if you would only take an honest look at your history, you're going to have to be awakened to realize, I've sinned against heaven. I'm lost. I'm lost. There's no hope. What string can he pull? What appeal can he give? What excuse can he give? What excuse can you give? Why you are not saved yet? What appeal could you offer God tonight? That he should not deal with you for your past Christless life. You've said no to Christ. You've turned your back on God's love to you. It's time you are awakened. Because this boy came to a very solemn conclusion as he looked back at sinned against heaven, and as he looked ahead, he says, I'm dying in my sin. Oh, may God very, very graciously in the tenderness of his heart open your eyes tonight, young man. You are dying in your sin. What a tremendous moment. Gospel preachers have very, very solemn experiences in their preaching history. And the ones we dread and hate the most is to have to take a funeral of one whom we looked into their face and preached the gospel to, and they died in their sins. I cannot explain, friend, what it will ever mean if you die in your sin. There could not be a darker experience. There could not be a more lonely experience. There could not be a more dreadful experience than to drop into the bowels of hell with a Christless life. It's time you were waking up and faced your past. In my second reading, at the end of that story, we read of the beginning of the joy of an unworthy prodigal. My, you know those words, I am not worthy, they're hard to get out, aren't they? I am not worthy. You mean there's not a reason at all that I can offer that God should be kind to me? You mean I have to take the place of being unworthy even? That's what sin has done to you. what your history is added up to. That's what your future declares. You are an unworthy sinner. It is very, very heart-searching when you begin to face the solemn fact, friend, that if you died tonight, all you deserve is for God to send you to hell. I know I faced it. Thank God it shook me up. My mom and dad were saved before I was born. I heard the Bible read, went to Sunday school, memorized many texts. But I'll tell you, that night when I sat in the back seat of my dad's old car, it came into my mind, Jim Smith, if you die tonight, you'll go straight to hell and you know it. And that night, for the first time in my life, I faced up to it. Yes, and that's all I deserve. Oh, my friend, tonight, that's what the prodigal did. That was the beginning of his spiritual awakening. And he sat down and faced his Christless past and his Christless future. But can I note with you that there was one that was longing for that boy to face the realities of his sin? And my friend, that's why we have an open Bible tonight. It's God's Word. In God's Word, He reveals Himself. And the God of heaven tonight is a God with open arms. Marvelous. I remember the Sunday night when I found them open for me. Marvelous moment, sitting there on the side of my bed, having faced my unworthiness before God. Friend, I'm here tonight not because of some good in me. I'm here tonight because of the greatness of my God. The greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Son of God, as you've been hearing, went to Calvary's cross. He settled for God's eternal satisfaction and honor the great question of my history. My sinful history was all taken into account. And the arms of God tonight are open to poor, unworthy sinners. May I ask you, is there one in this audience like that prodigal? And the deep burden of your heart is like his burden. I'm going all the way home. He arose and he came to his Father. And as I look into your face, young man and young lady, tonight, an older one, I wonder what it is that has distracted you on the way. Some of you have tried to get salvation before today, I'm assured of that. Some of you have perhaps even desired that this time when the meetings are on, this will be the time I hope I get saved. But you've been distracted. You should have been saved before tonight, friend. God has taken all roadblocks out of the way. He has removed all hindrances. That's the greatness of his loving heart. That's what's seen in this passage. His eye is watching that road. And there's an eye from heaven tonight that's watching you, your soul and your sin. God is yearning for the moment when you will face Him as a sinner with nothing to please, nothing to hope for. Cast yourself upon His mercy. Whatever the Father does with me, that's all I deserve. That's what that boy said. Father, I've sinned against heaven. That shut him out right there. And before Thee, this person, against the one that loved him most. And that's all your sin and mine is against the God who loves me most. Not worth it. If there's the smallest mercy, just treat me like an old slave. I don't care how you treat me. Oh God, but don't let me die in my sin. That's the appeal. I trust that's the appeal of some sinner here tonight. Father's arms went around that boy. Can I note three things about the Father? That's what I want you to notice, where his joy began. The Father had a longing heart. My friend, tonight God has waited 2,000 years with the sons of men come right down to your generation. Some of you young folk here tonight are in your teens and you're in your sins. The patience of God has graciously embraced the opportunity for you to be saved. A longing heart. God longs to fill heaven with sinners that deserve His judgment. He longs to give to the Lord Jesus the great eternal joy of being surrounded by men and women, young and old, from every quarter of this globe, who deserve to be in eternal fire. He longs to see them surrounding Christ with the chorus of the anthem of heaven. Will you be there, dear young man, young lady? Will you be there in that choir to lift our voices to look upon the face of the Lord Jesus? Marvelous, that's God's longing. God will have all men to be saved. That burned in the heart of the beloved Apostle Paul. That's the Father that's here. He was watching. And He's watching for some soul to come to the end of their line here in this meeting tonight. And to stay upon their seat lest they go out and die in their sin. He longs for you to turn to Him. And go all the way home. Don't stop for anything. Don't let anyone distract you. No friend now is going to come to the prodigal and say, come on one more night together. Let's have a little fun. Just innocent fun. There's only one thing that matters. I have to get the question of my sin settled. And I've got to get it now. And he went all the way home. Oh, friend, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Father in heaven stands with a longing heart. And you'll notice as well concerning the Father here that He lifted the load from a guilty son. He lifted the load. He kissed him. Marvelous moment. I remember when that happened to me. Oh, I felt nothing on my cheek. I don't mean that. But when God gave to me the assurance that at Calvary the Lord Jesus had taken my guilty place, and I knew I had it. He kissed me. My friend in this meeting tonight, in all your unworthiness and the defilement of your history of sin, the longing heart of God yearns to put that sin away, to give to you the assurance, thy sins are forgiven. The load was lifted. My, I well remember that. I fell to my knees. I couldn't tell you what I said. I was a boy, but I remember getting down on my knees. I knew what I would want to say. Thank God for the Lord Jesus. He died for a sinner like me. Oh, that thrills my soul. I wish it melted it more. I would tonight, friend, that you as a poor, prodigal sinner may see, if God has graciously awakened your heart, that you may see there is a longing one whose arms are outstretched to you tonight. He fain would take you just as you are. He makes all the changes. Did you notice that? The Father was the one that commanded all the changes. The Son could do nothing for Himself. A filthy, miserable, lost, condemned sinner. That's the way He came. If you would come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus tonight, He makes all the changes. Gave him a different coat. Gave him a kiss on his dirty cheek. He gave him a feast in the home. And he called him a son forever. Ha, friend, that's the gospel offer invitation tonight. Don't turn away from it. If our Lord Jesus steps to the air tonight, that's Luke chapter 13, when once the master of the house rises up and shuts the door, oh, God, graciously, have mercy on sinners tonight. There are those in our families in their sin. I long to see my Savior, but, oh, I dread the thought of that door closing against your soul, my dear friend in the meeting. Notice what the Lord Jesus said. They began to stand with us. Oh, awful thought. Do I see young men, young women in the meeting, and they're half asleep? Do I see them chawing away on their gum as if they
not the least bit interested in the gospel. I'm not saying that I see that in here tonight, but if that is the case, may I say to you kindly, what will it ever be when the first tear begins to roll down that cheek? And you discover the doors. They begin to knock. I see young men taking that Bible and turning to John 3:16 in tears that will wet the page. Oh God, speak to my soul. Oh God, is there no Savior for me? John 3:16 will say nothing to me. They begin to stand with him. And they begin to knock. I see a young man that hates it when his father prays, and he's down upon his knees all alone. And he's beginning to pray like he never prayed before. Oh God, is there no second chance? Is there no hope? Oh God, is this forever? Says the Lord Jesus. It's only the beginning. Only the beginning. Of Solomon. And the Savior says the last word. Begin to weep and to gnash their teeth. Another verse says they will gnaw their tongues with pain. That's only the beginning of a long, unchangeable eternity. If God has touched your heart tonight, friend, He did so because He wants you to turn to Him just like you are. It will be the beginning of a new year for you. The beginning of a joy that can never be taken from you. If you would only turn tonight and be saved. Let us pray. O God in heaven, Thou art a patient God. This world in which we live is filled with the evidences that man is a rebel against Thee. And every one of us here tonight, our histories are stained with the awful self-will and rebellion of sin. We thank Thee for the precious blood of Christ, the evidence of the love that could never be quenched by suffering, nor by rejection. Oh, what a patient, loving Savior. We thank Thee He lives tonight, and He sends forth the invitation into our world. Him that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, how can sinners pass up such an offer tonight? We pray, O God, that Thy gracious Spirit may lay holy truth upon careless hearts. We fear there are those here, O God, we dread the thought, that they will begin to weep outside the door. We pray that Thou wilt help us who know them and who are saved to do our weeping now. How awful it would be to be inside the door and those whom Thou hast given to us in life to be outside to weep forever. We thank Thee for Thy goodness. Graciously bless Thy word for our Lord Jesus' sake in His precious name. Could we sing number 59, please? Hymn number 59. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. Marvelous opportunity. Friend, believe Him tonight. This is the opportunity God may never grant you another one. Believe Him. Take Him at His word. Stop and be saved tonight. Number 59, we will sing together verse 1 and verse 2 and verse 4. Hymn 59, the meeting is dismissed. Remember the prayer meeting that follows and the Friday evening meeting, the last night of this week. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, Sunday 7:30, Monday through Friday at 8 next week, if our Lord Jesus has not. Take Him at His word, friend. We dread the thought. were preaching for the last time. God grant you to turn as a sinner to Christ tonight. You will receive. You will receive. Verses 1 and 2 and 4 of Numbers.